Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class. A show that shines a light on the ups and downs of everyday history. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're talking about the hateful origins and tragic outcomes of California's alien land law. The day was May 3rd, 1913. The California Senate passed a law restricting the property ownership rights of Asian immigrants. The bill, known as the California Alien Land Law, was co-authored by Attorney Francis J. Haney and California State Attorney General Ulysses S. Webb. Written at the behest of Republican Governor Hiram Johnson, it effectively barred Asian immigrants from owning farmland in California. The law was implicitly directed at Japanese immigrants, or Issei, but in practice, it affected Chinese, Korean, and South Asian immigrant farmers as well. Despite the objections of California State Secretary William Jennings Bryan, not to mention the nation of Japan, the bill passed 35-2 in the state Senate and 72-3 in the state assembly. Then, 2 weeks later, Governor Johnson signed it into law. California's alien land law was an expression of the anti-Asian sentiment that had been festering in America since at least the mid-19th century. This animus, among white populations, in the western states in particular, was initially directed at Chinese immigrants, culminating in the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. Then, at the turn of the 20th century, Japanese immigrants became the new favorite target. The shift in focus was largely due to the annexation of Hawaii in 1898. Much of the island's Japanese population immigrated to the U.S. mainland in 1900. The majority of families settled in California, but they didn't stay long in the unwelcoming cities where they landed. Instead, many of the Issei moved to rural areas, where they wouldn't be accused of corrupting white communities or stealing their jobs. They turned to agriculture as both a way of life and a means of income, and while most started as laborers on white-owned farms, many were later able to establish their own. Those successes helped foster a sense of belonging among a group of people who, at the time, had no hope of becoming naturalized U.S. citizens. Owning farmland allowed them to support their families, prove their productivity, and take an active role in American society. But in the eyes of xenophobic white landowners, it just made them a threat. By 1911, anti-Japanese politicians and agriculturalists had begun to lobby for restrictions on Japanese land ownership in California. Their efforts bore fruit on May 3, 1913, when California became the first state to enact a so-called alien land law. The law effectively prohibited Asian immigrants from owning agricultural property or leasing it for longer than 3 years, but the authors of the legislation were careful to avoid using the words Asian or Japanese, as that would have clearly violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Instead, they used a more neutral-sounding term, aliens ineligible to citizenship. Wording aside, the understood goal of the law was to discourage Japanese and other Asian peoples from settling in California. State Attorney General Webb even admitted as much himself, saying, quote, "The fundamental basis of all legislation upon this subject, state and federal, has been and is race undesirability. It seeks to limit their presence by curtailing their privileges, which they may enjoy here, for they will not come in large numbers and long abide with us if they may not acquire land." To be clear, the law did not take away farmland from those who already owned it, nor did it prohibit Asian immigrants from owning residential or commercial property in California. However, it did block the path to agricultural ownership for future non-white immigrants, ensuring that the economic power of Japanese immigrant farmers couldn't be made permanent. That said, some Japanese landowners found ways to circumvent the Alien Land Act. Some placed their land in trusts for their American-born children, while others transferred ownership to corporations run by Asian immigrants. Unfortunately, the California legislature eventually found out about those loopholes, and in the early 1920s, they tightened restrictions to close them. This meant that Japanese-American children now had no way to inherit the businesses that their immigrant parents had built. As a result, many were forced to relinquish their family farms to the state and move elsewhere after their parents' passing. By that time, California had also adopted many other anti-Asian policies, including school segregation, unequal law enforcement, a ban on marriage with white people, and the denial of voting rights. But California was far from the only state to engage in such blatant discrimination. More than a dozen others followed California's lead by passing their own versions of the Alien Land Law. And while many of those laws were challenged in the U.S. Supreme Court in the 1920s, every one of them was upheld. The court's ruling helped normalize discrimination against Asian communities, stoking the fires of xenophobia and paving the way for the mass incarceration of Japanese Americans during World War II. But after the war, California seemed to recognize the role it had played in making internment legally, politically, and socially permissible. The state legislature reversed its previous policies and even voted to pay reparations to people whose land had been seized after the death of their parents. The U.S. Supreme Court also changed its tune, and by 1952, most of the alien land laws in other states were struck down as well. Of course, that doesn't mean that discriminatory land laws are gone completely, or that anti-Asian sentiment doesn't still exist in America today. Both of those societal ills are, sadly, still with us, but neither is as entrenched as it once was. Remembering past struggles like this helps us see how far we've come as a country, and reminds us that it's up to each new generation to keep the progress going. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.